hymns that were chosen tonight, that our study this evening will be on the work of the Holy Spirit of God, and in particular on the inner workings of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is not an exhaustive message, rather it's a short devotional message, starting with John 3, 5, verses 8. The Lord Jesus answered Nicodemus in John 3, 5 through 8. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that is of natural means, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." In other words, in order for one to be truly converted and to be born of God, to be saved, that person has to be born of the Holy Spirit of God. There must be a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit within the heart, a change of direction, a change of principle in one's life. The kingdom of God, of course, is a holy kingdom. It is not an earthly kingdom, and therefore those who expect to go to God's heavenly kingdom must be made holy by the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 6 says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." God, of course, first formed man of the dust of the ground, didn't he, in Genesis, and breathed in man his breath, the spirit of life, and gave him a soul, an eternal soul. And so when we sin not only against God, but against eternity, because we're made for an eternity. And just as we are a living soul, God made us a living soul, that soul, of course, when Adam sinned, died, spiritually speaking. When Adam sinned against God and fell, we all fell with Adam, and we die spiritually. And so therefore we need to be made alive to spiritual things again. The carnal man, the flesh of flesh, as it were, the flesh is flesh, the carnal man is at enmity against God. And so by nature, we are born sinners. We're born in enmity against God. We need to be made alive to the things of God. And that can only happen by the Holy Spirit of God, which is born of the Spirit. The Spirit is Spirit. And so we need to be made spiritually alive. Alive to holy things. Alive to the things of Christ. Alive to His Word. Like it says in Ephesians 2, "Herein have you been quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins." Before we knew Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were dead to those things. I remember myself going to my sister's baptism before I was converted. The message went straight over my head. I was dead to the things of Christ. Dead. I was under many gospel messages when I was young. I said I was a Christian, but I was spiritually dead. Until on that train where the Lord saved me by His Holy Spirit, made me alive when I believed in what the Lord had done to my brother Jason and my sister. He saved them, and I believed in that testimony. I believed that it was Jesus Christ that saved him, and that they were born of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's when the Lord saved me. I was made alive, who was dead in trespasses and sins. The word goes on to say in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." The working of the Holy Spirit is a mystery, isn't it, to us? It's a mystery. We cannot. It's been windy recently, and we've seen the effects of the wind. We see the trees moving, And we can't tell where that wind's coming from. We can't tell where it's going. But when we see a true believer, as our brother has prayed earlier, we can see the effects of it. There's a change in that person's life. They used to be a person who was governed by their feelings and by their carnal instincts like an animal would. But now they've been made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. There's a change in heart and principle from the earthly to the heavenly, to the things of self to the things of Christ. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit, changing the heart. Before we're made alive by the Holy Spirit, we can be under a message like this and we'll be finding it quite boring. It will just be something which, well, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm not really bothered with it. I'm actually looking forward to the end of it. I don't enjoy these things. But if we're born of the Spirit of God, well, these things, these truths, these heavenly truths, we want more of them. We're interested in them. But there's been a change in our hearts by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit can never be bought with money. And we know that from Acts 8, when Simon, who was a sorcerer, deceived the people, when he believed and was converted, he saw what the apostles were doing, laying on hands of the people. When he was saved, he wanted to be able to give the Holy Spirit as well. And it can never be bought. He was rebuked by that. It's the sovereign will of God. It's the gift of God. Salvation is a gift, a free gift. And who the Lord chooses is at his own sovereign pleasure. And neither can the Holy Spirit be forced upon people, as some of the charismatics will promise you. They'll breathe down the fire, as it were, and suddenly you'll be saved. That is, dear friends, it's not biblical. It's not of the Lord. And often these things are quite demonic in their nature. This is more to exalt man than to exalt God. And often it's actually least when we expect it, the Lord comes and saves our friends and our loved ones. When we least expect it, perhaps in the worst sermon, He may come and save by His Holy Spirit. You know, a great misunderstanding that many Christians have of the Holy Spirit of God is that they think that one can lose their salvation. They think that they can lose the Holy Spirit once they have been truly converted and saved. And this, friends, is simply not true, because it does not take into account the full counsel of Scripture. And that's a great error that many sincere believers, who actually, many of which are converted, but it's a very dangerous error, because they take a passage like in the Psalms where David says, take not thy spirit from me. And we know the context of this particular passage was his gross sin with Bathsheba. And in his backslidden state, we don't know how long that was for, but he was backslidden, he killed another man because he knew he was going to be found out because she was going to be pregnant. So he knew that Uriah would find out that she would be with child, and Uriah, being a man's man, would not go and sleep with his wife, which he could have done. But him being a man's man, say, well, I'm not going to come back, and I should be off with the soldiers fighting God's wars. And so David, of course, in that gross sin, he, in his emotionally, take not my spirit from me. Why would someone who is coming to is repenting of their sins, which is a mark of grace, say those words? Well, of course, he knew that he was the Lord's. But you see, when we are backslidden, especially in a gross way like David was, it teaches us really that the Lord can withdraw his presence from us in this respect. The Holy Spirit can be withdrawn from us. And it really teaches us the value of the third person of the Trinity, for us to value the presence of God and to value the blessing of God. And when we, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit. That's why the word is there, grieving it, because that's what happens when we sin against God as a Christian. We grieve it. The Holy Spirit, if we're truly the Lord, will always be there. It says in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. What wonderful words those are. And we think, well, hold on a second. I am full of sin by my natural depravity. I can say like the Apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And we could be like that. This body of death. And he said that as a Christian believer, the Apostle Paul. You see, once we're born of the Holy Spirit of God, when we truly believe and understand the gospel of grace of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, we are made holy. The Holy Spirit is given to us. So God doesn't see our imperfections and our many faults. He sees his Son's righteousness imputed upon us. It covers us. And we receive the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is exactly what it says it is. It's holy. It cannot sin. And this is the great mistake people make. It's like, I can lose the Spirit of God. I can lose my salvation. Well, that's not true. The Holy Spirit cannot sin. We have the old nature still within us. The body that the apostle describes as a Christian, a wretched man I am. This body, it's like living as a believer with a putrefied body that pulls me down constantly, my old nature. But thank God I have my new holy nature that cannot sin, that has been enthroned upon my heart. It's number one. And my heart has given me new principles and new desires in life to live for the Lord, to live for Christ. I now have him that helps me to cultivate godly things in my life, to be guided by him. And so we have the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why, again, the expression is there in Scripture. Grieve not the Holy Spirit that's within you. The Holy Spirit cannot sin. I just want to emphasize that again. The Holy Spirit cannot sin. The Holy Spirit is enthroned upon our heart. It's only our old natures that sin. It's only the old natures which we are supposed to be mortifying and killing off in our life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of this new life within us. And if we don't have that power, if there's not true repentance in our life, and there's no true mortification of sins, and we just let sin abound, that is a mark that we're not yet Christ's. We're not yet the Lord's. If these things I'm saying to you aren't true of you, then you still need to seek the Lord with all your heart and all your mind. It says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Again, such precious words, aren't they? Incorruptible seed. It cannot be corrupted by man. It cannot be corrupted by the malicious words of men. And the word of God is powerful and quick and sharper than a double-edged sword, and it's accompanied by the Holy Spirit of God. It says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed! God has promised that he sealed you. If you're truly converted and love him more than anything, born of the Holy Spirit of God, you're sealed. No one can ever take you away from the Lord. And so take comfort, therefore, believer, that your eternal comfort is assured in Christ by his very words in John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And of course, he was saying that to his disciples, wasn't he? That when he was to leave, they were sorrowful. But he was saying, well, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. and it will be with you forever. And of course, until you're, by the Spirit of God, raised to newness of life, resurrected, brought to be with the Lord, taken up, as it were, in the clouds, to forever be with the Lord in glory. And that's forever, friends. And no one can take that away from you if you're the Lord's. Where there is comfort, true eternal comfort, true comfort in the soul. I'm not just talking about earthly pleasures and leisure. I'm talking about true eternal comfort from the Holy Spirit. There is also liberty, as our brother mentioned today. There is liberty in Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. We're made free. Now, Spirit, as we see the free Spirit, the wind moving the trees and giving life to it and action to it, the same Holy Spirit of God gives us liberty to not be governed by our sin anymore, being dictated to by our sin. I now have a measure of self-control which the Holy Spirit of God gives me. And the more I cultivate the Holy Spirit of God, the more I feed the Holy Spirit of God, the greater part of me, the more and more I'll grow in grace and in the likeness of the Lord and in the knowledge of God. And so there's liberty, isn't there? Liberty to serve Christ. Liberty to live for the things of eternity. Liberty to please the Lord, to pray to the Lord. And not to be dictated to by one's impulses, as we were before we were converted. If we no more fear condemnation, there is joy, isn't there? Joy and peace by the power of the Holy Ghost, as it says in Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's where our joy comes from. That's where our peace comes from. Knowing that we're Christ's. That with fear and trembling, we know that we're the Lord's. We have received the Holy Spirit. There has been a work of grace in our hearts wrought by the Holy Spirit of God. We love God's word now. Has that happened? Have we got that? Has there been a change in our hearts and in our life wrought by the Holy Spirit of God? The Holy Ghost is who gives us understanding and teaches us heavenly things. That's who we taught by. And you know, how sad it is to see when you see professing Christians 20, 30, 40 years, 40 years or so, and they're still in the world, as it were. And you talk to them about the basics of a Christian life, and they have no concept of these things. Well, you've got to ask yourself a question. Have they received the Holy Ghost? Because the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is that which teaches a believer. It gives me discernment to read my Bible. I must read God's Word. The Holy Spirit needs feeding. I know it needs feeding. I'm compelled in my heart and my conscience, if I'm born of God, to read the Scriptures, to search them, to feed my spirit. Because if I'm not, I'll be overcome with guilt and grief, the Holy Spirit. It teaches me that I need God's Word. I need to fellowship with God's people. I need to be faithful to my Lord. Otherwise, I'll grieve the Lord. And I'll become like a spiritual leper. And that's sad, friends, when we see that. God teaches us through his Holy Spirit. And John 14:26 says to this effect, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you how many things? All things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit. You know, hours when my mom, when growing up, my mom faithfully My parents were divorced when I was 14. My mom faithfully took us to church. I was under the gospel. I heard those things. And for a time, I didn't think I was a believer. I really did. I even witnessed to people when I was young, my teenage years. However, I wasn't truly the Lord's then, because not long after that, I was driven by my carnal, what I wanted in the world, until the Lord saved me. And all those things which I learned in my youth, they came flooding back to me when I was truly saved. And it's that promise of God, isn't it? To train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And that's our, for those who have children that are not yet Christ's, that's our promise. That's our, we hold to those promises of the Lord, and we, with tears, bring them before the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit teaches us all things and brings all things to remembrance. Again, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. And that's Christ's words. That's those heavenly truths that we have in our Bible. They will be like thunder when you read them. They will come and pierce through the flesh, right through to the soul. God's word, when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's like a double-edged sword. It gets right through the flesh, right through to the heart, to the soul, for the purpose to which we've been made. That's what it is, to be born of the Spirit of God, to live for eternal things, and to live for the things of Christ, to not fret so much over earthly things. Yes, we've got pressures, and yes, we've got to make provisions for these things, but it's the eternal things. It's the things of Christ and eternity. That's what really grieves a true believer in Christ. I can lose many things in this life, but like David, if the presence of God is taken away from me for a time, that's more painful than anything that can ever happen. It says in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." This is talking to us, his disciples. We're witnesses. Never forget that. How we behave, our conduct, our speech, how we dress, and how we are perceived, the appearance of who we are, of course, it must be in the heart. How we act and live our lives must be, if we're Christians, as witnesses. We are to point people to Christ. We're not our own anymore. We must keep telling ourselves that. We can forget that. Sometimes, as Christians, we can forget. I don't belong to myself. I belong to Christ. I'm his. My life, now that I live, the body in which I live, is dead. I die to the things of self. I live and I'm risen to the things of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Do we live that way? Do we act that way in how we treat each other and how we love each other in loving God and loving one another? The two greatest commands the Holy Spirit helps us to keep. And if you keep the first one, you keep all of them. If you love God with everything that you've got, you keep all of them. You'll love the Sabbath day. You'll love to keep the Sabbath day holy. You'll love to spend time with God's people and God's word. The Holy Spirit will teach you that. You'll love to spend time having fellowship. But if you're not a believer, keeping the Sabbath day holy is, I don't want to keep that. I just want it to be a normal day. You see? But if you're born of the Holy Spirit of God, he teaches you these things. Yes, it may take some time if you're a young believer, but there is a progression there. There is a sojourning there, as it were, to that heavenly city, because you'll be made holy in Christ, because you desire to be with Christ in heaven. It says in Psalm 143:10, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Surely that's the desire of true all believers. Teach me to do thy will. Not my kingdom come, not what I want in the world, chose what I wanted, and sometimes even good things, oh, how that would lead me astray. It is good that I've been afflicted sometimes. It's good that the Lord leads me sometimes into the valley, or allows me to go to the valley of the shadow of death. It's good. Those things teach me. There's spiritual character coming from these things. Oh, that we may pray with David, lead me into the land of uprightness. I desire to be in heaven. I don't want to be in the sin-sick world all the time. If we're thinking before the flood, when people lived 900 or so years, what a terrible thing that would have been to live in a sin-sick world. But we want to be with the Lord, don't we? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, says Matthew 28:19-20, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Dear friends, if you've been born of the Holy Spirit of God, remember that your bodies are the temple of God. As it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He's almost asking a rhetorical question here. What? Do you not know if you're born of God, that your body or your bodies are the temple of God, that enclose the Holy Spirit of God? And it was in David's heart, wasn't it, to build a house, a temple for God, wasn't it? It was in his heart. And that we know that Solomon, by God's will, was to build that temple. And what was Solomon to furnish it with? Well, he searched afar, didn't he? He went and he wanted the finest wood from Lebanon. And he wanted the precious stones to make, and gold to be fetched afar. He endeavored over 7 years, again, picture of completeness, 7 years to furnish that house with those precious stones, with everything precious. And although the creator of the universe that's never going to be big enough. Not even the universe can fill the creator of the universe. But his desire was to build a house. It was in his heart to build a house with all these materials, to furnish it with all these things. Well, that's a bit like us. Are we furnishing our bodies, our spirits, with precious things? Or are we just dumping stuff in there? I'll just use any material, as it were. There's no discernment there. Are we filling it, as it were, what we think about in our minds and our imagination? That's like filling our bodies, our souls. What I look upon, my desire, am I filling it? If I'm a Christian, am I furnishing my soul with precious things, like Solomon did, the house of God? Or am I just casual about these things, and I don't care what I look upon or think about? There's no repentance there. I'm dumping things in there, as it were. Well, we are to fill our hearts and our souls with all manner of precious things. Cleave to the means of grace. Cleave to Christ, his word, his Holy Spirit, if you're truly the Lord's. And we are to keep, as it were, our bodies, our temples, sparkling clean. Because if we're a Christian, our lives belong to him now. And so it is our duty as Christians to keep them clean. And we can only do that if we receive the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit will teach us to keep it clean. There's a desire to be kept clean. This, friends, is not legalism. It's not a legalistic thing to say these things. This is what it is to love God. This is what it is to love God. It's not legalistic. Because hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us, says Romans 5:5. Friends, the Holy Ghost is he who helps us in the hour of trial as well. When we're feeling cast down and we're feeling despondent and we are overcome with anxieties and those sudden fiery darts of the devil. And that's sometimes what happens when the busyness of life, they come suddenly, those passions, very quickly from others and from our pressures from out and from within. The Lord is there in those trials. If we keep close accounts with Him, it says in Mark 13:11, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost gives us the things to need. When we can think of, "I've got so many things going on in my life, so many pressures," leave it to the Lord. And like our brother mentioned earlier about getting overly anxious and having anxieties, put your burden upon the Lord. He put it upon the waters, as it were, as Moses was mumbled by faith. That's what we are to do. Lay those burdens upon the Lord, because we cannot hold those burdens. They're too heavy for us in life. Put them all upon the Lord. Your sin, your all, cast it upon the Lord. And the Lord will bring it back again and bless it. And so, friends, let us not fret and get overly anxious when we have such a gracious heavenly guest permanently within us, the Holy Spirit. Let us rather put on the full armour of God, as it says in Ephesians 6:17-18. Take the helmet of salvation. Just very quickly, remind yourself, if you're truly the Lord's, I'm the Lord's. The helmet of salvation. I've got the mind of God. Not fully, but I'm the Lord's. Wake up every day if you're truly in Christ. I'm the Lord's. I'm saved. Then put it on. Put the helmet of God on every day. It's essential to start the day with the Lord. To remind yourself, I'm on a spiritual warfare. I need to remind myself I'm Christ's. I'm in his service now. It's a spiritual warfare now. It's not about my circumstance. It's a spiritual thing. We need to continually remind ourselves of that. And the sword of the Spirit, it says, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, again as our brother mentioned, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. This is what we are to do, aren't we, beloved? For ourselves and for our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we've been doing in today's prayer meeting. Dearly beloved, we who are Christ are rescued in the ark of God's redeeming love, aren't we? We're rescued in the ark of God's redeeming love, like Noah was. And the dove, the Holy Spirit, brings us good tidings, doesn't he? Of a better land, as the dove came back to Noah. So it is with us. The Holy Spirit betimes brings us that good tidings from above. Where Christ dwells, that's where we want to be. And we know of his promises, his rainbow, his heavenly rainbow, landed upon us, as it were. And when you look at a rainbow now with converted eyes, and you see that beautiful colour from heaven landing upon earth, it's almost like that rainbow has landed upon you, isn't it? You feel like you've won the spiritual jackpot, and you trace the brightness of that rainbow back to heaven, though it be dark. And sometimes you can feel the frown of God upon you because of your sin. Yet you can trace the colours, as it were. You can trace that bow, as it were, straight back to God. Because you love God. You believe in Him. You believe in His promises. The Holy Spirit teaches you these things. Dear friends, now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen.